What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and the one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was filled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So let us pray. Hey, Father, as we come here to hear your word, Lord, I just pray that the word that you placed on my heart, Lord, speaks to everyone here in this congregation. And Lord, if we're coming here with distractions of this broken world, I pray that you would cast them away so we can focus on you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What is faith? Is this faith? Gathering around. I was going to show you a video, but because of time, I'm not going to show you. Faith is a key doctrine in the Christian life. But what does the Bible say about faith? What does the Bible say about faith? The Bible reminds us the sinner is saved by faith. The believer must walk in faith, as we hear in 2 Corinthians. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatever we do apart from faith is sin, as we hear in Romans chapter 14. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but obeying in spite of consequence. So, in our spiritual journey, as we're trying to be Christ-like, we need to ask ourselves three questions. What kind of faith? What kind of faith really saves a person? Is it necessary to perform good works in order to be saved? How can a person tell whether or not he or she is exercising faith? True saving faith. According to James, we could look at it with three kinds of faith. The first, I call it dead faith. James knows that there's not much point in saying something if no one is listening. So James wants to make sure his readers are listening. He rather begins by asking a couple of questions, but it's the second question we need to focus on in verse 14. Can that faith save him? Now, there are certain statements that are universally held among Christians that deny them. You're branding yourself as a non-Christian. For example, Jesus is Lord. Salvation is by grace through faith. And now James challenges us by asking whether faith saves. He is asking his readers this: how is it possible for others to see whether you have faith or to see the quality of that faith? Since faith is not tangible, the only way we can really see faith is by seeing it in action. Sure, we can claim we have faith, but James rightly questions whether faith is never seen, is really that kind of faith that can really save us. Later on in verse 18, he challenges those claiming to have faith to prove that to him without any works to demonstrate it. How do we demonstrate it? Putting faith into action gives others the chance to see and to test its quality. To illustrate this emptiness of faith without works, James gives us a simple scenario of whether a brother or sister in Christ is in need, but a believer offers only a blessing instead of something practical that would help that person meet the need. While this might technically qualify as faith, James says that the faith is dead unless it is accompanied by works in verse 15. People with dead faith substitute words for deeds. Probably you have known someone like this, or maybe you are like this. You know the correct vocabulary. You quote the right verses, but the walk doesn't measure up. They think that their words are as good as works. But Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 5, only faith works through love. You can recall the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. The priest and the Levite had religious training. They got an education, but neither helped the dying man. If you would ask them, each of them would agree to defend their faith, but neither would demonstrate that faith in loving works. We could say that we have compassion, we have good ideas, we're creative, or even have anger management issues. You could take our word for it, but more likely people will say, show me evidence of these traits in how you live. This will require us to do something. If intangible concepts like compassion and faith are not put into practice, we have no proof they exist. Any declaration of faith that doesn't result in changed life or good works is a lie. A person with dead faith only has intellectual experience, head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. Also, no one can come to Christ by faith and remain the same. 1 John, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And James also teaches a second faith. It's called the demonic faith. James wanted to shock his complacent readers, so he used demons as an illustration. People often surprised that demons have faith. Demons believe in God, but they also believe in the deity of Christ. You should recall when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan asked him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you are the Son of God. Satan knew Jesus' deity. Also, when Jesus cast the demons into the pigs in Matthew chapter 8, they all cried out, What do you do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? They knew who Jesus was. They had demonic faith. So one of the marks of demonic faith is that it contents itself with mere belief in the existence of God. Is it good? Is it good to believe that there is one God? Absolutely. James says that those who believe the truth do well in verse 19. But is belief in the existence of God sufficient for saving the soul? James answers by pointing to the demons of hell. They also believe in God. They know the truth about God, the truth that they know makes them tremble and shudder. But is this saving faith? Of course not. And neither is our belief in God if it consists of nothing more than agreeing with statements about God. So why? Why is it that demons tremble when some of us are unconcerned? Demons tremble, but some of us are unconcerned. Demons are not blind as people. Demons know what will happen when Jesus returns. But sadly, some of us say that we believe in God, but we go on living as He does not exist. And yet some of us dream that we are safe in God's everlasting arms. Genuine faith involves something that can be seen and recognized, a changed life. That is why James addresses his hypothetical person who held the above views as someone of a fool. The foolish person is literally a hollow man. If the faith around which we build our lives turns out to be empty, we are truly hollow people. There are times when we need more teaching, understanding, in order to respond to God's direction. I'm not saying that we don't need more teaching and understanding. But more often, we know what needs to be done, and yet we're unwilling to do it. So the question is, when it comes to putting our practice into what we know, is it our habit to obey God? We can agree in belief in prayer. We can believe in evangelism. We can agree in reading the Bible regularly, spending time with family, honesty and generosity. But how many of us would say these are bad things or things we don't believe in? Probably not. But if we really scrutinize our lives, put our lives, our spiritual formation under a microscope, how do we spend our time and money, our habits, and so on? What do we find? Someone told me, if you want to know what is someone's priority, look in their agenda. Then you'll know what that person's priority in life is. How do these things we say we believe shows up in our daily practice? Thinking about something is a lot easier than allowing it to transform our lives. Demons believe that God is one, but it doesn't change their decision to rebel against Him. The same holds true when we claim to have faith and yet not willing to be able to demonstrate it. Friends, I want to take 1 minute to pause to Remembrance Day. It's 11 o'clock. And I want us to quickly, for one minute, reflect on the sacrifices of the people who died so that we have freedom. The third faith that Paul James talks about is a saving faith. A saving faith is real. It has power and results in a changed life. A saving faith is based on the Word of God. It leads to action. James offers Abraham and Rahab to illustrate his points about the importance of a saving faith. that puts faith into action. To better understand the point that James is drawing out here, we need to take a look at what Abraham is praised for. It's just that as he's offered his son up to offer his son Isaac. In Genesis chapter 22, the angel of the Lord forbids Abraham to stretch out his hand against his son. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So why? Why does God allow this? It's not that the act of faith has somehow won Abraham some superior level of justification before God. Rather, Abraham's act made him plain for anyone to see that he's all in. He's committed his faith to God. He withholds nothing from God, not even Sarah's only biological son. Offering up his son has proved evidence of Abraham's faith. The lesson we can draw from Abraham's life is not comparison between his sacrifice and ours. We can expect, in one way or the other, our faith will have to grow from internal trust and external action. Eventually, like Abraham, we too will have to answer the question, do I really trust God? James points out that Abraham's faith was not much than just a belief in one God. The fruit of Abraham's great faith was his deeds. His faith was made complete by what he did, by his actions. His faith produced actions, and his actions completed his faith, meaning that they were perfected and matured. Now, James chapter 1 teaches that mature and incomplete believers are produced through perseverance in trials. James chapter 2 teaches us that the mature and complete faith is produced through works of obedience to God. Faith and works should not be confused with each other, but neither can they be separated from each other. Now, many have said that verse 24 in James contradicts Paul's position. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, for we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. But for James, being right, being made right, refers to God's final verdict over our entire Christian lives, whereby we are declared righteous for having lived a life that was faithful to the end. For Paul, being made right is the initial granting of righteousness upon a person's acceptance of Christ. For James, works, what we do, are the natural products of true faith. For Paul, works, obeying the law, are what people were trying to do in order to be saved. For James, faith alone is the shadow belief in an idea, not commitment or life change. Or life change is involved. For Paul, faith is saving faith, the belief that brings about an intimate union with Christ and results in salvation and obedience. Paul made it clear that a person enters into God's kingdom only by faith. James made clear that God requires good deeds from those who are in the kingdom. A person receives salvation by faith alone, not by doing works of obedience, but a saved person does works of obedience because of that faith. For people who rely on their religious busyness for their salvation or merit before God, Paul's words are critical. Those works alone can do nothing to save them. For people who rely on their intellectual assent, a set of belief, or only a verbal commitment, James' words are critical. Their belief alone can do nothing to save them. So the two questions to help us gauge, to help us monitor our spiritual health. Who am I trusting? Why am I working? If we are trusting anyone, including ourselves, other than Christ, as a source of provider or justification, we are lost. If we're acting for any reason other than in obedience and thanksgiving to Christ for what we have done for us, we are lost. We only truly find our salvation in Christ. Out of our trust in Him will flow action. Next, James takes up the example of Rahab. Rahab sheltered spies sent to spy on the promised land. In the same way, even Rahab, the prostitute, was made right by God by her actions. God's final judgment on a person's life considers the righteousness that a person shows through works. So the question is, but why would James bring up Rahab? After speaking great faith of Abraham, the father of Israel, James cited the example of Rahab, a pagan woman with bad reputation. But these two people, as opposite as they were, supported James's argument. Both people were made right with God on the basis of their actions that resulted from their faith. The contrast is not between faith and works, but between genuine faith and false faith. Just like as Abraham was willing to risk the life of his only biological heir to demonstrate his faith, Rahab was willing to risk her own life to demonstrate her faith that God would do what she had heard he would do. Not only are she and her family spared, but she appears in the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 and referred as a model of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. A faith that produces no good works is a sham, is not a saving faith. Then James closes the chapter in verse 26 by reiterating the necessary of works as evidence of true faith. Faith and good works are as important to each other as body and spirit. Good deeds are not added to faith. Instead, the right kind of faith is faith that works, that results in good deeds. Otherwise, Christianity is nothing more than just an idea. No one is moved into action without faith. No one's faith is real unless it moves someone to action. The action is obedience to God. It draws us back to James's words in the first part of this chapter concerning the cares of others. The believer must do what God calls him or her to do, serve his brothers and sisters in Christ, refuse to discriminate among them, and to help them out with good deeds. Understanding how faith and deeds work together still does not mean that our lives will be different. It is these everyday events that will demonstrate our faith to be alive or dead. From time to time, we need to take our spiritual pulse by matching our lives with God's word. But we also need to have people around us, the body of Christ, whom we can ask, am I putting my faith in Christ into action? A body with no spirit is dead. You put a mirror to the mouth and there is no breath. Faith without works is dead faith. So the question we are faced this morning is the faith that I profess a saving faith? Is it going to stand up on Judgment Day as the real thing? And how do I know? How do I know it's the real deal? According to James, we can only know it by our lifestyle, by the way we live. Knowing the danger of self-deception is imperative that we all examine our lives to make sure that we are in faith. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians, and it's something that I ask myself every week, in the beginning, on Monday, and when I go to bed on Sunday. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. God's will for every person is that we be saved, that our faith is real, and that we stand justified before Him in final judgment. Let us pray.